In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the West, particularly among certain stripes of Protestants, there's been a tendency to see theologians as people who have certain academic credentials and not seeing a connection between being a theologian and living a holy life. In the Orthodox Church, we don't accept that. The saying that we hear often is true, and that a theologian is one who prays, and one that truly prays is a theologian. But what's true of theologians is also true of Christians in general. We're all, in one sense, called to be theologians. We're all called to be people of prayer. We're all called to know and to love God. Obviously, the best theologians are those that combine academic understanding of the Scriptures and the Fathers with also living a holy life. But if you want to be a Christian, you have to not just talk the talk, but you have to walk the walk. And that's what the epistle reading that we heard today is all about. And I'd like to talk about that, but begin a few verses prior to where the reading itself began. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above." And you could also translate that as set your minds on things above. The Greek word there is the same word that we get the word phronema from, which some of you have heard of late. But that's basically, if you have an Orthodox phronema, you've got an Orthodox mindset. So set your affections or minds on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And that's a pretty stark statement. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And what does it mean when it says that our life is hid with Christ? Our life is hidden with Christ like a seed is hidden in the earth. It's not visible to everybody who, when they're passing by where a seed has been planted, what's going on below the surface. But only when that plant begins to sprout do people realize what has been going on. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then the reality of our life in Christ will no longer be hidden. And when it says Christ, who is our life, this is something that should be true of us. We often talk about people who dedicate themselves to certain things, like we might say of someone, his work was his life. We might say of a mother, her life was her children. Or we might say of some athlete, his life was football or baseball. But if you're a Christian, your life is Christ. And that's what you should be first and foremost about. That's what should define who you are. And then it goes on to say, mortify, or you could say put to death, therefore your members which are upon the earth. And now he just said, ye are dead. But now he's saying you need to mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. St. Paul in the Epistle of Romans talks about offering ourselves as a living sacrifice. But one of the problems with living sacrifices is that they try to worm their way off the altar sometimes. It's uncomfortable being a sacrifice. And so we have to regularly put to death those things that are trying to bring us back to that old man that we have taken off. And what are the things that we need to put to death that he's talking about? Fornication. What is fornication? It means any kind of sexual immorality, the Greek word does there. The word is porneia, which is where we get the word pornography from. But it's not just pornography either. It's any kind of immorality. Anything that is outside of a lawful marriage between a man and a woman, any sexual activity is fornication. And it's not to be indulged in by anyone who names the name of Christ. And unfortunately, we have, in our culture, so cheapened what marriage is that when I talk to some young people, they're baffled that marriage is even an issue. Why do I need to get married? It's just a piece of paper. And we could say, well, one of the reasons why marriage has been cheapened is because we've redefined it to mean just about anything that you want it to mean. But it's not just gay marriage that is cheap in marriage. It's how many heterosexual people have treated marriage. They've treated it very lightly as something that is not really a lifelong commitment. And so we all need to repent of anything we've done which has cheapened what it means to be married. But that's the only avenue for sexual activity for a Christian. Anything outside of that is a sin, and it's something that we need to mortify. Also, uncleanness, inordinate affections, which you could also translate as passions. Evil concupiscence, which that refers to desires or lust. And covetousness, which you could also translate as greed, which is idolatry. Since we're dead to the old man, we are to continue to put to death any of those things that remain from that old man and anything that might crop back up that tries to bring us back to that life that we put behind us. And then he says, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, throughout this passage, St. Paul has baptism in mind. He talks about ye are dead. How are we dead? We were buried with him in baptism, he tells us in the Epistle to the Romans. So when we are baptized, we die with him. And when we're raised out of the water, we're raised to a new life. We put off the old man. And the imagery of putting off the old man is like taking off a garment. And as a matter of fact, in the early church, when adults were baptized, they were baptized in the nude, which is why we have the office of deaconess back in the early church, because the deaconesses baptized the women. And we don't do that anymore for adults, although we continue to do that for infants. But even for adults today, we at least take off the normal clothes that we wear, and we're down to just what we would go swimming in. But the imagery of baptism, ideally, is that we're taking off that old man and putting on the new, just like we would a garment. We're being clothed with the new baptismal garment, which is the robe of salvation. When St. Paul talks about anger and then wrath, you might say, well, what's the difference between anger and wrath? Well, the difference is that wrath refers to sort of a short-term outburst of anger, whereas anger, the word there refers to sort of a simmering anger that just remains and continues to be an issue. And we're to put off both of those things, which is not to say that there's not any room for godly anger, because we are to be angry with sin, we're to be angry with evil, but we're not to be angry with other people. That's the kind of anger that we need to put aside. And when it talks about malice, malice is referring to a vindictiveness, a desire to injure people. Because when people hurt us, our natural inclination in the old man, at least, is for us to want to hurt them back. And the unfortunate thing is, if you have a world where everyone does that, then people are just constantly hurting each other and you never break the cycle, because you're never going to reach the point where no one has reasons why they want to injure someone else. The only way to break that chain is to forgive. And when it talks about blasphemy, blasphemy is not referring just to blasphemy against God, but to any kind of an insult that we make towards other people. Christ has to be our all in our life, what we are called to be. We have to make that a reality in our life, and it has to be a reality in our life and our behavior. As St. Paul says in the Epistle to the Romans, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen.